Hello and welcome to episode 7 of The Ordinary Knitter. Since I recorded the last main podcast last week, I've set up a SoundCloud account. Several iOS, i.e. Apple users, have said to me that they're having a problem where the podcast gets about 8 minutes in and then jumps back to the beginning. My husband knows what he's doing with IT and he's looked into this, and apparently it's a recognised problem with iOS, which, you know, they are working on a bug, but I doubt you should hold your breath on that. I'm not an Apple user. I'm not recording this on an Apple device. I'm not uploading it from or to Apple facilities, so that's no doubt why the problem is occurring. I am looking at getting this up onto iTunes, but not being an Apple user, it's presenting me with some very baffling headaches at the moment, and I simply haven't got time to really look into it. So that's for the future. But for just now, you can find me on SoundCloud as The Ordinary Knitter. All previous episodes are up there, and this and all future episodes will be up there as well. You can also download directly to your device. The link is on the website. So this week I've made a departure from what I've been doing recently. As you know, it's all been baby knitting and more baby knitting just lately. That's now all done and complete. Neither of the babies have appeared yet, but the things are all ready to go for them when they are. That means no more recycled cotton Aran yarn for the time being. I really do enjoy knitting with it, as you will have picked up, but the last couple of skeins have been a little bit frustrating because I haven't been able to pull the yarn out of the middle. I find anyway that pulling the yarn out of the middle of a skein is like getting the giblets out of a chicken, and it's been so difficult that I would have just effectively ended up turning the entire skein inside out, which I have done before now, and I would have ended up with a giant mess. And so I've just gritted my teeth and allowed the skein to unwind from outside, but it always feels very messy, and you know, I'm never satisfied with that, but that's just how it's been. So the baby sleep pods is now completely finished. As I said before, I was going to knit it in the round, cutting at the end of each stripe and weaving in the ends. This is what I did. It gave me much better results. I had no headaches about matching up stripes. Because I had used Stacey Perry's colour jog video, I didn't have any obvious colour jog, and it was a pleasure, really. And if you have been keeping up with the podcast, you'll see that last week I recorded a 5-minute special, what I'm referring to at the moment as an extra. I might come up with a clever name at some point, haven't got there yet. And this was on a new way of weaving in ends, a new way to me. I'm sure everybody else has known how to do this for a very long time. Weaving in ends is something I thought I knew how to do. I thought I would just check, see if there was any other information out there about it, and I was blown away by this video. I won't repeat myself, so if you're interested in hearing what I had to say about weaving in ends, I suggest you go and listen to my the first in the extra series. The extra series are just going to be ad hoc when something comes up that I really want to talk about there and then, or that I think deserves its own little focus. So between knitting the sleep pod slightly differently and then weaving it in this new way, it's just turned out really well, and I've put some pictures of that up on Instagram. I did the little hat as well, and I did something I don't normally do. I checked out the comments section on this hat. If you look on Ravelry for any pattern, there's a number of tabs in the top right of the page, and one of them is comments, and it can be quite useful if you're not convinced about a certain aspect of a pattern, or you think that it's questionable, or you'd benefit from seeing what other people have said. I really find it worth going to look at that, because sometimes people come up with things that hadn't occurred to you, or what's even better, they say something that had occurred to you and makes you think, oh, okay, fair enough, maybe I was going down the right track when I thought that. And something that was suggested for this little hat was that it was awfully big, and I must agree, for the actual sleep pod itself, which you knit from the top down, you cast on 100 stitches. For the hat, you cast on 80. Now that's a baby with an awful big head. So the suggestion was, amongst people who had done this, to cast on 60, which I did, and it's worked out very well. I said early on when I started recording these that I was going to put works in progress on Ravelry, as in, you know, the different stages as I go along a project, and I would put snapshots of the finished items on Instagram. But it just seems organically to be happening the other way around. So if you're wanting to see what's happening day to day, then I suggest you look on Instagram, where I'm the ordinary knitter. And if you'd like to see my finished projects, some of which do have one or two work in progress images, but are more likely to be the finished object, then you can find me on Ravelry at Ordinary Knitting. I said last week that I was waiting for a few things to arrive, including some short tips for my KnitPro Symphony set. The short tips did arrive, but unfortunately one of them was a little bit ropey just where it connects to the cable. So I got great customer service. She said, yes, no problem, it does sound faulty, I'll test another set and I'll send them out. I'm still waiting for that. Although this connection was faulty, I thought maybe it was just me being stupid, and I did try a couple of experimental rounds, soon realised it just wasn't going to work because basically the needles were coming apart, so that was a non-starter. But what I could tell, even from just those couple of rounds, is it is really quite different knitting with short tips. When you knit with an ordinary needle or with an interchangeable, ordinarily I find for my hands, which are pretty average size, that the needle completely fits in my hand. In other words, as I sort of go to hold a needle, I've got needle sticking out at the finger end and I've got needle sticking out at the palm end, and it's fine, and I've got resistance and I can maneuver it. With the short tips, what you don't have is needle sticking out of the palm end of your hand. It's all a little bit more it's terribly hard to put into words. It feels slightly insecure. It's not on the basis that your needles aren't falling apart. It's just different. You don't feel the needle in your hand in the same way. So I can see that they are going to make a big difference when I'm knitting something small in the round, but it's not just a straightforward swap. There is an element of having to get used to things feeling a bit different. So I'm still waiting for those. When they get back to me, the new pair, of course, ironically, I'm not actually going to be using them for the time being because I've moved on to doing some socks, which I'll talk about in a minute. But I will be interested in using these short tips in future for projects and seeing how I settle down with them. So, socks. I'm really happy to be getting back to knitting socks. They are amongst my first loves, really, with knitting. I've said before, my husband really likes the handmade socks that I do for him. I've probably made him about 6 pairs over the last couple of years, and the rate I do laundry, there's normally a clean pair there for him, but not always. And I love knitting them. So when I put in an order recently for more of the King Cole recycled cotton Aran from Purple Linda Crafts, I just decided to chuck in a couple of skeins of sock yarn while I was there to make the postage a bit more worth it. The sock yarn that I have tended to use has been Regia. I chose it originally because I liked the colours that were on offer. As I say, I mean, I've been buying this for at least a couple of years, so the colours I was buying originally may no longer be available, but I just liked what they had. And the thing which was a real seller is it can go in the tumble dryer, and you know, it's not such a big deal in May, but in the winter I use my tumble dryer a lot, and you know, certain things I can go out of my way to dry or wash differently. My daughter's school skirt, for instance, it's pleated and it can't be tumbled, fair enough. But if I have to start analysing every item as it comes out of the washing machine, that's going to get a bit wearing. So these have the benefit that you can just go in the wash, go in the tumble dryer, and they really last. I mean, when I'm doing the laundry and I'm looking at these socks as they come through the wash, I often just give them a quick glance just to check that there's no thinning happening, and I've really been impressed at how they've worn. My husband's a big guy, he's heavy on his feet, and these socks are lasting, so I had no hesitation in getting another couple of skeins of Regia. I've got Cherry, because he really likes red colours, and Forest, which is a pretty standard sort of British racing green. However, when I was looking on Instagram recently at other people's sock knitting, somebody had a really fantastic colourway. It was a sort of sky blue marl. It was beautiful. And that was a Patterns sock yarn. And there was a lot of love being given for the Patterns sock yarn in the comments on the post. So when I've made these, when I'm next looking at knitting some socks for my husband, I think I will give Patterns a go. Why not? Live a little. So the pattern that I use for socks has really evolved. The first pair of socks I ever made for my husband, I'll link to all these on the show notes, was as what I think of as a box construction. You had, across the top of the foot, you had 8 blocks of 5 stitches, and you'd have 5 knit, 5 purl, 5 knit, 5 purl, and then the block was 6 rows deep, and then you just would alternate for the next set. So you get a bit of stretch, and he liked how they looked, he liked how they fitted, great. As I have gone on knitting socks, I've started to work in the elements that suit me. I started off knitting them cuff down on DPNs. These days I knit toe up, two at a time, magic loop. And that's really what I've settled in at. And I absolutely love knitting two at a time. It totally avoids second sock syndrome. In some ways, it can feel like your progress is slower because, of course, you have to do everything twice. But when you're finished, you're really, really finished. You also lose any element of guesswork that you've got things exactly the right length. One of the points which has an element of judgment to it, the way I knit them, is once you get to the front of the ankle, you start increasing for the heel. And when I have knit two socks separately, that could be sort of, well, is it about right? Is that where I did it on the last one, to within two or three rows? Yeah, probably. When you're knitting them two at a time and they're literally on the same needle, you're knitting one row of one sock, and then the next thing you come to on your needle is exactly the same point on the next sock. There is just no element of guesswork. You know that each sock is exactly the same, and I just love that. So they're quickish to do. I mean, I cast on a couple of days ago. I've got a fairly busy week this week and next week, and I may not have as much time as usual, but even so, I'd like to think that a fortnight and I should be done. Because they're not big in themselves, although they are quite, it is quite fine knitting. I'm using normally a 2.75mm needle, obviously a 4-ply sock yarn. I say obviously, you can obviously knit socks in a heavier weight of yarn if you're doing them for winter socks or for something in particular. But these are just everyday socks to wear. He tends to wear a boot, you know, that's just what I tend to make. So I've now got to the point where I use the cast on that I like. I know what the measurements are, stitch count wise, for his feet. I understand where to start the heel. I now use a particular heel. I haven't designed the heel or the cast on myself, but I've incorporated them. And then I normally knit a relatively deep cuff, and I have progressed to, this does always feels slightly selfless, I now do 2 or 3 inches of 1x1 rib. Which is a bit, you know, 1x1 rib is just tedious, quite frankly, because you're just constantly moving your yarn about. But they hold their shape on the cuff really well, and he finds it's just the perfect combination of they hold up but they don't bite in. So it's worth doing. There's a tremendous pleasure in knowing that you've knitted something which really fits somebody very specifically and which they really like wearing. So my cast on, I use Judy's Magic Cast On. Because I'm knitting from the toe up, I'm not knitting a tube. I'm knitting, I don't know quite how you would describe it, I'm knitting something that has a blunt end, effectively. It's a wonderful cast on. It's like so many things in knitting, it's incredibly simple. You just need to be shown how to do it. So I cast on one sock toe. I don't knit it at all. I immediately cast on the second one. I did once have the clever idea of thinking, oh, I could just do a couple of rows of this and then I'll start the next one. Well, that just went completely to pot. It simply doesn't work. And I can't explain why. It was too mind-boggling. So if you're tempted to do two at a time toe up with Judy's Magic Cast On, just do both cast ons and then start your knitting. And because I like to make life difficult for myself, I choose to use both ends of one skein of yarn. You can separate out into two balls. You can separate your skein physically, you know, cut it and have two separate balls of yarn if that's what you want to do. There's no reason not to. I just like to keep things as compact as possible, and that works for me. I mean, the skein of yarn, the needles and the works in progress, comfortably I can just grab those with one hand. So to me that's just nice and easy. If I had two balls of yarn, they'd be bouncing around all over the place. I'd be constantly on my hands and knees under the sofa trying to rescue one of them, and I just can't really be doing with that. So that's how I do mine. So I do this cast on, you then start your knitting. You're obviously, as it's on the toe, you're increasing. Judy's Magic Cast On usually suggests that you start with about 8 stitches on each needle, in other words a total of 16 stitches per sock. My husband has feet like spades, so I've actually doubled that and I cast on 32 stitches per sock. Then doing an alternate increase round and a knit round, I get up to a total of 80 stitches per sock. So that's 40 on the top, 40 on the sole, and then when I've got to 40, I start any patterning that I'm going to do. And I was asking him what he wanted, and he said the thing he really likes the best is just for them to be stretchy as they go on. So I've just gone for a very simple rib. But as I start with quite a lot of stitches in the cast on, the patterning on the sock starts deeper onto the toe than it would in a normal sock. And depending on what you're used to and what looks right to you for a sock, you might find that's not actually what you're looking for. But there's absolutely no reason, once you've got to 40 stitches, why you couldn't then just continue just simply knitting in stocking stitch for another however many rows until it gets to the point where you want your patterning to start. Once the, I always think of it as the fuselage of the sock, has got to about, as you try it on, the other lovely thing about Magic Loop is because you've got that nice loop of cable at the end. I always use a really huge cable, so I've got masses of room to play with and lots of slack, because that works for me. What I do is, when I want my husband to try on the sock, and of course because they're identical he just has to try on the one, I get it down to the loop of cable so it just moves like a normal sock and he can put it on and we can see where we're at. So as the fuselage creeps up his foot and starts to get towards his ankle, then I'm trying it every 3 or 4 rows to see where we're at that point. I've talked before about bad habits in knitting, and then I realised that I do actually have 1 or 2 good habits, and one of my good habits is measuring. This not simply because of all the issues I had with the go with the flow cardigan, which didn't really fit properly. It's also because I just, certain things just aren't worth it. With a sock, if it's too big, you can't really fudge it. If I've gone too many rows past the ankle, it's just going to be flappy around his ankle, and it's not going to be satisfying. And then I've got to undo it all, and I'm not very good at frogging, so I tend to tink, and the whole situation just escalates. So and it was the same when I was doing the baby sleep pods. I ensured that I was measuring, you know, frequently. Once I could tell by eye that I'd got to at least 12 inches and the sleep pods had to be 18 inches, you know, I could tell because of the way the striping worked that I was probably safe for another 2 sets of stripe, and then I'd measure and so on. And I really did, and I kept measuring. And I think that's the way I knit, and my ability to judge distance, I find that's quite important to do. So once the sock gets to the front of the ankle, I start a flegel heel. I first came across this a couple of years ago. I was looking for a different way of doing a heel. Something I'm not particularly keen on is picking up stitches. And the reason, it'll just be my cack-handedness, but I find there's something inherent with picking up stitches to giving it laddering. And I was never entirely happy when I had picked up stitches. When I did a sock heel in the normal way, I would pick up stitches, as you do, and I would just feel, once everything was together, I always ended up with that little hole at the top of the triangle, and I didn't like it. I found another way of doing a heel, which I gave a whirl. It involved wrapping, but that didn't work out very well for me either, and I asked questions about that on Ravelry, and I can't remember the details now. I think I buried the experience in my mind, but there was a suggestion that the point on the heel that the wrap had been placed made it difficult to do. So I just abandoned that. And really, the flegel heel has never let me down. The only concern I had on the first couple of pairs of socks that I did with a flegel heel is that there's nothing intrinsic that reinforces it on the heel. You know, when you do the, what is it called, the pheasant eye, the sort of standard sock heel, it seems to be, it's in a slightly stronger knit than the rest of the sock, and so if a sock is rubbing against a shoe or a boot, you've got a little bit of extra oomph, and you don't get that with this. But I have to say, you know, the the proof of the pudding is in the eating, and in, or the proof of the knitting is in the wearing, and in a couple of years, none of his socks have gone on the heel. So I'm completely okay with that. So I do the flegel heel, and then once all that's over, then you're just knitting up the leg, of course, at which point you can rib all the way round. I don't rib on the sole of the sock. I mean, some people might. I think that would feel a little odd to wear for myself, so I just completely knit plain stocking stitch sole. And then again, I measure it on him and get to the point where I say, right, you know, are you happy for 3 inches of rib from there? But like, yep, that's great. And away we go. I have wondered about putting this together as a pattern, but I'm not very experienced at writing patterns, and I'm concerned that I wouldn't be following all the protocols. As I'm also borrowing other people's techniques for the toe and the heel, I don't want to get into trouble, you know, with sort of copyright and all that sort of thing. So on the show notes, I will put a rundown of the method that I use to make the socks, but it's not going to be, strictly speaking, a pattern. Just a word about the website. As things have gone on, I can see that it's the way that it's laid out is getting a little unwieldy. So I'm going to put on a different theme. The theme I've used, it's a WordPress site. It's not specifically a podcast theme that I've used, and there are one or two that will be better to use. So I will work on that over the next 2 or 3 weeks. Half term might be an opportunity to do that, which is next week. It's not going to happen in the next few days. So I've suddenly got to 20 minutes rambling on about socks. I won't say a great deal more. It was a huge contrast, suddenly knitting with 2.75mm needles and 4-ply yarn, having been knitting with 4.5mm and Aran at first. It's a little bit like when you're used to having older children and you pick up a baby and you almost throw it over your shoulder with surprise because they're so light, you know. It was a bit sort of, I almost sort of couldn't get my hands around these tiddly little needles. But It worked out, and now I'm very happy to be knitting socks again. When I've made these, I'm in two minds as to whether to go on to a second pair of socks or whether to start researching the shawl that I was talking about. But I think I'll just see what I feel like at the end of it. It's like books. Sometimes I'll read a certain type of book and think, oh, I really want to read something else like that immediately. Other times it's like, no, I want to leave it a bit. I couldn't read two like that in a row. So I'll just see how I feel. Just wanted to have a quick word about technique. I mentioned, I think it was in the last podcast, that my mother made the comment that I was a tight knitter, which surprised me. But when I was knitting these socks, I discovered I had actually cast on very tight. If you do Judy's Magic Cast On, you'll see that it's possible to do it quite tight. And I was actually really even struggling to move my needles or move the stitches along the needles. So I then started to make a conscious effort to go a little looser. And that got me thinking about a technique in general. And that's something I would like to talk about in future podcasts. I don't know how I would describe the technique that I use. I move the yarn with my right hand, put it like that. My left hand doesn't get involved with the yarn at all unless I'm doing stranded colour work. But I wondered if anyone else has consciously changed their technique. I saw somebody on Instagram this morning with a brief video showing them doing continental knitting, and I can understand why you'd want to do that. It looks quite satisfying to do, but on the occasions where I have done it because I'm doing stranded colour work, I find that my I'm really quite loose when I do the continental knitting, and that just concerns me for the gauge and the tension across the finished product. But I think it's quite interesting to look at our technique, and I have changed my technique completely. I used to have the yarn in my left hand, but we'll talk about that another time. Well, thank you very much for listening. I can't believe it's been gone 20 minutes already. I've got my knitting group tomorrow morning, so I'll see what people are doing there. And I hope by the time I talk to you again next week that these socks will be a long way further on. Thank you very much for listening. Bye.